Welcome to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and I'm so encouraged that I can be here to encourage you in Jesus' name. Also, joining me for the Extra Hour is Pat Hamilton.
Good morning.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. And joining us from the city streets, the one, the only, John Rimmel.
Good morning.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. We have a shout out this morning to the VFN family. Oh my goodness, as I was listening to the things that were taking place to the leadership meeting, oh, God is so, so good. There's nothing like it to see fruitfulness in the body of Christ. Give a shout out this morning to the VFN family in Lakeland. Oh my goodness, God is moving. Love it, love it, love it, love it. Cindy. Give a shout out also this morning to Teresa. Good morning, good morning. You are listening to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me for the extra hour to encourage you is Pat Hamilton.
Good morning, good morning.
And John Ramos.
Morning, morning.
Well, here we are. We're in the extra hour. Man, if you missed that first hour, you need to hear the things that were covered in it. As we were talking about, you know, 9/11, and we got to remember this. We have to remember it. And God is about being remembering the things and the things that he delivered us from and how he's protected us. The fact that, you know, 9/11 happened then, but it hasn't happened since. And we can say, oh, it's our strength that has kept us. Oh, it's our
intelligence, our military.
Yeah, what do you call the guys that pat you down and x-ray you and check your DNA?
TSA.
TSA, you know. And
Homeland Security.
Yeah, Homeland Security. It's like, what are you going to do with that X-ray? Is that going to be on the internet?
Exactly. Well, I told them, listen. Yeah. When I flew down to see you guys. That's when I told them. I said, listen, I know you're going to screen this. I know that. I do not want to see, you know, this on the internet. I don't. They laughed at me. I was, you know,
it's on the VFN torch.
We got. Oh, jeez. She laughed at me. Said, oh, don't worry, sir. Don't worry, sir. This picture will not get out.
Oh, so you got X-rayed instead of pat down.
Oh, they put you in a whole like Star Trek-y thing, man.
Well, you know, Jersey, you know.
It's crazy, man. Newark Airport, you better watch out.
Well, yeah, you know what I'm saying? It's like,
yeah.
I'm the Kool-Aid man. I'm still going to pat you down, man. I'm going to pat you down. I think police officers pat each other down though. There's like, make sure there's nothing happening. You know. I'm telling you, you know, that is it our security or is it God showed us that he can keep this from happening? Was that just a peek at what could happen if God removed his hedge? And it's like when Katrina hit, you know, when we were part of the Gulf Coast where five hurricanes hit, and we were coming, I think, Pat, you and I were coming from probably Birmingham or something, when everybody was heading north, you know, running like Highway 65, right? They're going like, it's Hurricane Ivan's coming, and they're all leaving, and we're... It was just us and a whole parade full of police officers and emergency vehicles going south. It's like, what's wrong with this picture? Something wrong. And there was no traffic. I mean, anybody that was going in our direction was traveling at excessive speeds to get down to rescue people. And, you know, we were getting back for the women and the children.
Right.
We want to be there for the women and the children. And Hurricane Ivan was coming, but we didn't know, you know, how big it was going to be. But it obviously was not good when everybody was running north. They were going south.
I know, that's right.
And so we go through Hurricane Ivan, you know, and that's sort of like that we talked about in the first segment, the country preacher that when he first started, he said, I thought I was ignorant, but since I've been doing it for quite some time, I've become ignorant and ignorant. Well, you know, you think you have hurricanes figured out, and then you go through something like Ivan and you go, that was ignorant. We should have went north, you know.
That was just stupid.
Oh, that was just stupid. speaking of that, let me just tell you, you know, and so, you know, here we are, actually Pat, and this family and my family were
hunkering down.
We were
hunkering down.
hunkering down. Is that what the word is? I was watching his lips. I was like, oh, that's almost a Southern word. So I'm watching his lips.
I got a review.
He signed it. I interpreted it.
Was it hunkering or bunkering? Which one was it?
Well, the lips didn't move. I was reading his teeth. Hunkering down.
Is hunkering different than bunkering?
Yes, it
was sort of like a tournament. The
tournament.
Wrestling.
While we were wrestling.
Right. And so we were in this
wrestling at
Hurricane. This home that we thought was built well, and it has a 12-foot glass door. 12-foot, like, you know, three different segments, maybe 4-foot segments, I guess. And the storm is hitting, and this Hurricane Ivan's hitting, and you just hear this pop, crack, squeal. But then you're thinking, you know, we got some boards up and different things like that. It's like, that's going to work. And so you hear some noise taking place, you know, in the garage. And so we have a car in the garage, and we backed it up to the inside of the garage door. The bumper was going to touch the inside of the garage door. And then we had a car outside the garage and backed it all the way up where we pinched the garage door between two cars.
Right.
To kind of hold it in place. And so you hear this noise going. You hear this noise going on.
Mm-hmm.
And so we opened the garage door from the inside to look, see what's going on. It was like, kaboom! I mean, everything just went smashing down over top of the car that was in there. It was sucked. It's like some sort of vacuum just sucked the entire, you know, ceiling and everything with the contest. Bam! On top of the car, we slammed the door shut. And then we're looking at these 12-foot glass door. And this 12-foot glass door, it's glass!
The sliding door?
Yeah, but it's a sliding door with two, you know, permanent panes in it, and it's 12-foot, you know, long altogether. But glass breaks; you don't bend glass.
Right.
But this thing was bowing like acrylic. It's like any moment this puppy's gonna pop, and it had boards on the outside of it.
Wow!
Mm-hmm. And then we look, you know, at the offices, you know, within the offices, and we find out that, oh my goodness, that part of the vent had blown out, and all of that equipment, all the, you know, expensive equipments and all that stuff is going to get wet. And so Pat and I are going to go, you know, rescue all the gear and all the different stuff. And so we go out in gale force 100 mile wind.
You know, with a ladder.
Yeah, and we're running on a ladder. Didn't we do it come inside?
No.
We went, oh my goodness.
On the ladder
goodness.
On the outside.
No, we went inside and up. We would have been, because the tree blew over our head.
Okay, yeah, we could have nailed it from the inside.
Yeah, we were ignorant on the inside. And so we climb up in the attic, and the wind's blowing through this big hole now because the vent's blown out. The vent's probably about maybe 2 foot by 1.5 foot or something. It's just huge. And so Pat has this board, and he's going to push this board up against and nail it on the inside. But you can't do it because the wind is so strong, it's pushing him back like a sail. Wow. So I had to put my back against the truss and take my feet and put them on Pat's back.
Wow.
And then I was pressing, like your leg pressing, Pat, as Pat's holding this board, and I was pressing, getting him closer to the thing. It's like,
you're going to shove me out the hole.
Yeah, it's like, I'm shoving him in the hole. You know, they're going to save the equipment. This is important.
Flying in the air.
Yeah. And it took all of that just to get the board against the hole where he could start nailing it. And, you know, roofs are being ripped off around us. And it's like, we're in an attic. It's like ignorant. And so, then we did. I mean, we're actually using some equipment today that was spared because it was, it, you know, we get it all, you know, covered with Visqueen and all that. And God spared it. And, we go back, and when we're headed back, something breaks off, like a big, huge piece of, like, privacy-type fence breaks off and flies over our head. It flies over our head, and then a big tree breaks off, like, flies over our head. And it's in the dark, you know, it's the dark. And so we find out the next day that tornadoes came right through and just kind of cut off all the tops of the trees at the top, like, giving them, like, a haircut across the top. Mm-hmm. I mean, God spared us. Mm-hmm. I'm sure he looked down, like, look at those ignorant. ignorant men, you know, and it was horrific. But then, you know, after Hurricane Ivan, then Katrina came.
Yeah.
You know, we were like the poster child for help. And people were coming to rescue us. They were bringing MRIs to us. Mm-hmm. No, MRIs. Bringing
MREs.
Magnetic resonating imaging systems. No, MREs, right? Meals ready to eat. I remember I told.
I was wondering about the MRIs. Yeah, right.
Dude, this huge MRI was delivered at my house, you know.
You were hunkering and the MRIs came in.
I was hunkering. No, that's, anyway, so, and so I remember I was telling. You just don't know how long this is going to last, by the way. And so I told Amber, and I told Jerry, because, you know, you have these MREs that we didn't understand. I didn't understand. You know, so we can't waste this food because we don't know how long. We had no power, no nothing. It just stopped. And I'm telling you, this is going to happen to America. We had, it was an early warning sign. And I looked at Amber and Jared, and I said, now, listen, you're going to have to, if you open that MRE, you're going to have to eat the whole thing. And they're, you know, they were listening to me, and they were like, look at, and it's like, MREs are meant for an entire day's ration. You know what I'm saying? But it was just a brick. You know, it was like a brick, but once you add water to it, it just grows and stuff. And bless their hearts, and eventually everybody was just busting them open for the M&Ms.
Yeah.
And they had a little pep, Tabasco sauce, so yeah, all that stuff was in there. And, But all of a sudden, because of they couldn't get gas. I remember that we had curfew. Martial law was basically put in all in this area. And so they had military forces all over the place. Mm-hmm. They opened a gas station, for example, but it was only for the military. They surrounded it with armed Americans.
Yeah.
You know, that said you can't. And we heard that one gas station was open. And we took off like a convoy because we weren't prepared for this. And we get there and find out it's surrounded by soldiers, and only the people who can get gas are the military. Yeah. And we had to book it back because there was a curfew. And it's like, but see, everybody was focusing on us because Ivan was so bad until Katrina happened. Mm. And once Katrina happened, it was like Ivan was a drip in the bucket.
Yeah.
And all the attention went to Katrina. They talk about Katrina. And let me tell you, that is the mindset of today. That so many things are going to begin to happen, and you can see this on the prophetic warnings on the VFN TV Torch, that so many things are going to begin to happen. Even though this tragedy is bad, the next one is going to call the attention, and there's not enough MREs or MRIs to be able to give to us. Right. There's not enough soldiers to be able to do it, and so you have to prepare. You need to prepare, and one way to prepare, I mean, God's does not do anything unless he reveals it to his prophets first to tell us what's going on. You can go to VFN TV right now, VFNTV.com, and you can watch Prudent Preparation. You can watch Is America Under Judgment? You can listen and watch SOS, A Tale of Two Kings. What you saw at the Democratic National Convention was a fulfillment of the prophetic word called SOS, A Tale of Two Kings. The SOS stands for emergency. You know, save our ship, but it also stands for the message or the talk, the prophetic word is it's either going to be Samuel or it's going to be Saul. It's either going to be God's form of government or man's form of government. And what you saw right now with the argument in America right now is, can God take care of us or will government take care of us? And when the mayor of Los Angeles was the head of the DNC, he's the chairman, and he takes a vote, you know, and they're trying to push through and save, you know, their party, the impression of their party, by bringing God and Israel back in there, that he says, all those that are for it say aye, those opposed say nay, or whatever it was. And they were kind of like equal or maybe more dominant than the other, and he did it twice. And finally, the lady walks up to her, and you got to understand this. This is how God works. She prophesied to America. Yep. She prophesied to America. She's on his right ear. And you understand, these are not Democrats. These are Americans. These are your brothers and sisters in that North Carolina?
Yeah, Charlotte.
We're not divided by parties. We're all Americans. Mm-hmm. You know, we're all Americans, and a large part of our American population, including our president, was part of that. So she, this lady prophesies, you know, to this nation. She says, go ahead and give them what they want. Give them what they're asking for. You got to do it.
And let them vote.
You got to let them. Well, not only let them vote, but you got to let it go their way. You got whatever they say.
Right.
It's something like, you got to listen to it. It's like whatever they say. You can see this on the VFN TV Torch. You can type in DNC, you know, removes God and Israel. But that was very important because at that moment I wrote down the time because I knew that was the moment that America shifted at that mm-hmm. moment. And they began to, the third time, the three times, like the rooster crowing three times. You'll deny me three times, Peter.
Mm.
And the third wow. time, the rooster will crow. And as soon as that third denial of God, you know, after she said, let them, it was almost like, Peter, remember Jesus told you this is going to happen. You're going to deny him three times. Like, okay, I'm not going to do it again. I did it twice. I'm not going to do it again. And right in front of everybody in the whole world, the whole world, they said, I never knew him.
Mm.
He's not relevant. Remember, Peter called down curses on himself.
Mm.
Mm.
And then the rooster crows. And that's what you were looking at. You're looking at a moment where America, God does not see us as different races. He doesn't see us as different genders. He doesn't see us as different parties. You know, we've divided ourselves up in all these little things. You know, even the church is not seen as all these different divisions in the church. Was one church,
mm-hmm.
and he sees us as one, and that was an American, you know, saying that the rooster crowed at that moment. That was it,
right?
And I wrote down that time in my spirit. That was it. That was the moment.
Mm-hmm.
It shifted. You know, give them what they want, and that's what happened with Samuel. When Samuel was, and you could go to VFNTV and watch this at VFNTV.com, you know, and it's called SOS. You know, tell of two kings. The two kings are Samuel or Saul. Because what they were talking about was Israel was looking what everybody else had. And mm-hmm. they were looking at other forms of government other than God's government. They were mm-hmm. looking how they had kings and they had, you know, all these people. And so, you know, God says, and so they go to Samuel and say, listen, we want a king. And so mm-hmm. Samuel begins to remorse and be sad and, and God tells Samuel, says, listen, they're not rejecting you.
Mm-hmm.
They're rejecting me.
Yeah.
And he says exactly in a paraphrased way what this lady said. He said, give them what they asked for.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's interesting that you say that. You know, I just recently saw something about the Holocaust in Germany and the Nazis. And it's called Hitler's Beneficiaries. And you wonder how with all the evilness that happened, did the average German citizen go along with what happened with the killing of all these Jews and the confiscation of property and just shipped? How did the average person just go along with all of this? And it was interesting what I read, what they were saying was that they were looking towards the Nazi government to supply everything. And so they were able to wink at what was happening to the Jewish people because their motto was that if anyone was going to go hungry, it wasn't going to be them. It was going to be, a German citizen. It was going to be the Jews. So they started confiscating all this property from the Jews. They were taking all this stuff away from them, and who was getting them were the citizens. And as long as they were being, you know, well taken care of, they were able to look at the other eye. They were looking all towards a government to supply everything for them. And it's just like, oh my goodness, they were going down. They closed their eyes to all of this.
But they crashed the economy first. They had to crash the economy, and that just leads me right into what the Lord was sharing with me on my time away. I was you got to go to SOS. You got to go to VFNTV and watch SOS. Don't let it be a history lesson. Look at it now and begin to share it and let people know that we cannot choose Saul. And realize they chose a king. They didn't choose Saul. God chose Saul. But in the analogy and understanding, they chose a form of government other than God's form of government. And Chuck Pierce has said, and I see it myself, that America is locked, the Church of America is locked down by a religious spirit, and it's holding the church captive where we won't let go and let God's form of government kick in. And until that happens, it's just going to get worse and worse and worse. And God's form of government is where we hear from God and we do what he says, you know, in the format of the family. And so It's right now. So that when they begin to cry out for the government to be the one who defends them, the government to be the one that gives me the right to send. And it says when a person rejects God, they're not rejecting God quite often because of him being God. They're rejecting God because of their sin. They want to sin. You know, I think about, you know, that there was this child's game, you know, years ago, and it's still happening today. It's called Duck, Duck, Goose. You ever heard about Duck, Duck, Goose? And, you know, it's like, imagine all these young little nursery kids in a circle, and they're all facing into the circle, and this one kid would go around the outside of the circle and touch everybody on their head. Mm-hmm. And they would touch one kid, and they would go, duck. And they'd touch the next kid's head to that, next to that kid, kind of working their way around a circle, you know, for all the guys, like a distributor cap. It's like, tick, 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 tick. But, you know, they go, duck, 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 duck. And as soon as they said goose, that would be the person's head they touch, and that person would be the one they chose, and then they would chase the person who just said goose to them and try to catch them before they made it back to their place in the circle. So it's called Duck, Duck, Goose. But I think about it, but the Lord spoke to me when I was away, and this is part of what's going on. And if you need to hear the word about Josiah, go to VFN TV and watch. You know, we are Josiah, and you need to hear that word. But when you think about it, the reason why God would not turn away from what he's about to do to Israel during a time of judgment was because of all the innocent blood that's been shed. Not all the other sins that people point out, but it's the innocent blood that's being shed. I mean, if that blood wasn't shed, he would have forgiven everything else. But the innocent blood cries out. I mean, if Abel's blood cries out today. And so the Lord showed me this picture. He showed me this picture of this lady. She showed me the picture of this lady. He showed me the picture of this lady in my spirit, and she was standing there just having this great time with this baby. Mm-hmm. You know, she's looking at this baby in this baby's face, and this joy's on her, right? But then he showed me three other pictures of her babies that she chose not to have. And, you know, one was a baby that was aborted by saline, and the skin was burned. And then he showed me a baby where the baby was dismembered. Then he showed me one where the baby just died, you know, because of the abortion. But then he showed me the lady holding the baby. And so the first three babies was like duck, 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 goose. I choose you. And she doesn't think anything about it. She makes demands at the Democratic National Convention, and she says, it's okay for me to kill my children. It's okay for me to abort these children and to shed innocent blood. But the children are saying, why am I goose? And my brothers and my sisters, ducks. Why did you not choose me? And you chose this one. And ultimately, this is the biggest, most horrific thing. Is why are you not horrified at your three children? The first three. Listen, God forgives us. But we first have to understand what we did was horrifically wrong. We have to answer for the innocent bloodshed. We have to answer for that. And my biggest concern, and when I was away, the Lord's beginning to show me that. And that's when you find about when God was talking to Josiah, and Josiah was you just got to hear it. You got to go to VFN TV and understand it. We are Josiah, and we can do something about it as kings in the kingdom of God, but also as kings with that kind of authority in America. If we respond like Josiah responded, you got to hear this. That I was in this parking lot, and I was about to park my vehicle, and all of a sudden the Lord just overtook me and overtook my spirit. And do you remember the time, you know, we had this particular seminar going on, and I think it was me, you and Chris, I think afterwards, and God was just stirring my spirit. And I'm like, I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is. It's like something's wrong. Something's wrong, right?
Yeah, I remember that.
And so I lay down that night. And I'm just kind of laying there wide awake, and God gives me a vision, kind of like a drision, like Chris has. You know, I don't know if I'm in the sleep or awake. And with that, I saw all this, what was going on in these particular people's lives. You know, God was showing me what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
And to the T, I mean,
yeah,
to the T, right?
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, and God was beginning to say over a period of time, he says, listen, what I'm doing is holy, and it has, you're dealing with human beings, and it has to be holy.
Right.
And so in that moment, I just, you know, this, I'm spending that time, you know, just pausing, turning off all the digital forms of communication, just listening. And all of a sudden he just overtakes me, and I'm just stuck in this holding zone of I can't even describe it. You know, it wasn't the anxious feeling. It was just like, this is it.
Mm-hmm.
This is it. Almost like you're looking at 9/11 taking place, that type of thing. I'm not seeing visions of that at that point, mm-hmm. but it's just like when you're looking at that, it's like, it's it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then the next part of that was, you know, brace yourself. You know, think about David Wilkerson, and, you know, God spared him from having to see what he prophesied about for years. Mm-hmm. You know, I want to speak to the cities in our nation. Listen, when you look how God deals with the nation, he'll deal with the cities and what they've decided. And I think about the horrificness of L.A. and you know, how they've turned in San Francisco and New York City with the mayor of New York City, who is just antithesis of God.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to brace yourself. And you can go to VFN-TV and listen to prudent preparation. You got to get your feet settled. You know, I was talking about in the first hour about, you know, my trainer that worked with me, Andrew, and he wasn't bigger than me, but he knew how to stand in a way, and he was trying to teach me how to have core strength, that inner core strength that, you know, he was playing soccer type situations, which is a great cardio, you know, thing. And it was amazing that I could push him and pull at him, but it was just like he was nailed to the ground because he had in his natural self, he had inner core strength. He worked on his core strength. And core strength is not a lot of fun to work on because you don't get to see all these, you know, like abs and biceps. And I'm trying to look to see what Pat's got going on over here. You know, you know what I'm saying? You like to see. If you're working out, you like to see results.
Sure.
But core strength, you don't get a chance to see it.
Mm-hmm.
But you can see it when something happens to you. You can see it when somebody tries to push you over. You can see it when somebody tries to pull at you. I mean, you have core strength will keep you on spot. And the church has no core strength. Most of the church has no core strength. Because we've been focusing on the outside of the cup and not the inside of the cup. So whatever you perceive is going to hold you steady is nothing but an anchor to you in a deep sea if you don't work on your core strength. And if you have not yet went and watched what we're talking about on VFN-TV, you're not even thinking about core strength. I was listening, John, to the statistic of George Barna that you were talking about where it says only 3%. 3%, is that right, of the church survey was even concerned about their core strength, their heart strength.
Yeah.
3%, which is interesting that's equivalent to the same percentage of the church that actually gives God, honors him with his tithes and offerings.
Mm.
Mm.
Which also means where your treasure is, there your heart is also your core strength. And it's like, you know, I want to encourage you that you need to begin to work on your core strength, and you can do that through your abiding relationship with God. Listen, if you haven't been doing it, and you've been hanging around people who call themselves a believer, just go to iabide.org and just begin. You don't have time to convince anybody.
Mm.
You know, you have got to answer for yourself. And if you have a core strength, realize that in the natural sense, like the comparison to my trainer, Andrew, I was able to say, you know, about I could have held on to him. I mean, he was so stable and steady that his steadiness, he could have been somebody I could have stood around in a storm, for example, or a rough situation. And maybe you can be that pillar in somebody's life. Maybe you can be that pillar in your family's life. Maybe you can be that one that they're all over the map, but you're being steady. You're being stable. And you can do that when you plant your feet on the rock, Jesus Christ, not on the religious rock, not on the American gospel rock, but on Jesus Christ.
That's right.
You know, he says, in this life you will have storms, but cheer up, I've overcome this life.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are trying to fight for this life, your rock, your foundation is not on Jesus, because you're worried about what's happening in this life. But if you realize things come and things go, but God stands and you're with him, then everything's cool with that. Well, he says, listen, if you build your house on a sand, if you build it on the sand, I remember after Hurricane Ivan, I was going out the beach with Jared, and Jared was younger then, and we're going on a Pensacola beach area, which is an island made from sand, and so many houses were blown away, you know, and I looked at Jared, and we're looking at all this different stuff, and I said, Jared, you know, what comes to mind when you see this? And this young kid goes, don't build your house on the sand.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
And so many people right now have everything built on a hope and a dream called sand instead of a solid rock. He says, those that build it on sand, he says, the storm will come and the floods will come. And that's what we want to talk about, that the floods will come. And when they come, you'll be destroyed. It'll all just be washed away. Everything will be gone. Mm. And if you build your house on the rock, and Jesus is the rock, he's not a theory. He's God.
Mm-hmm.
He's access to the Father. He's the only way to God. He's where we find salvation. That, and it means following his ways. Those who are doer of his word, not just hearers only and deceiving themselves, but they're actually doers of the word. That's what he's talking about. That's how you build your life on Jesus, by becoming his disciple. You don't build it by showing up every Sunday at a place and singing a song or listen to somebody sing a song. You're a doer of the word of God. And he says, so when the flood comes in and when the winds and all that comes in and crashes against it, you stand because you built your house on a rock, which means this. Listen, you can stand in this tidal wave that's coming.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I want to share. When we come back in just a moment, I want to share with you, you know, in brief, what the Lord just downloaded to me. And, it's gonna let you know what you need to do. We'll be right back.
John, have you had a chance to check out Vine Fellowship Network at University?
Yes, I have.
Oh my goodness, VFNU. I just want to encourage you that, you know, if you've received Jesus in your life and you want to know more and you feel that God is just calling you to go deeper in Him, to just, you know, there's a call upon your life. You know, there's a reason that you're a part of this generation and you're asking yourself, how? If you're asking yourself, how do I do this? I just want to encourage you, go and check out vfnu.org. You know, God's got a plan for your life and you play an integral part of this generation. You play an integral part and God has a plan to use you. And you can find out more of what God has in store for you. Find out more at vfnu.org. John, this is so encouraging. We got a Twitter page as well on the VFN TV radio program. You can actually go on twitter.com/VFNTV1 and you can stay up to date as far as all the updated new content that's being discussed and being shared on the VFN TV daily radio program, and see all the people that you're connected to, all the people that are following you. You can immediately post on that as far as what you're hearing, and immediately everyone else that's connected to you exactly knows the good news is what's being shared. God's news behind the news, the encouraging word, will be shared to all those who are following you. Check it out. Twitter.com/VFNTV1. You know, I'm beginning to learn a lot of things about building, you know, spending time with Pat. Yeah. The more time I'm actually spending with Pat, the less time I'm actually putting Band-Aids on my thumbs from like hitting the hammer and trying to build some. And I'm learning a lot from him. I remember when we were working on, one of the projects we were doing, he pulls out his iPhone, and I'm like, an iPhone while we're working, while we're building stuff, middle hammer, 2x4. And he was checking the level of a 2x4. I was like, what are you doing? He's like, I got an app for that. I'm like, get out of here. He's like, yeah, he has a level as an app on his iPhone.
Are you kidding me? A level?
Yeah.
On the phone. And what is the level? Is that the balancing thing?
Yeah, because I don't know. Apparently, he had like left a level in the truck, or left a level at the house, And and there it is, like the bubbles and everything, the lines. He was checking the level of his of the 2x4 off his iPhone. And we start talking, and he says, yeah, I mean, have you checked out the new app for the VFN TV, VFN Daily Radio program? And I was like, there's an app for that? He's like, yeah, there's an app for that. He says, you can go right on iTunes right now, and you can also go on the Android, because Android has it now too. You can go on VFN TV, type it in, and there's an app for that. Click download, and everywhere you go, you got us right there with you. You got all the live content. You've got all the live programming. You've got everything right there. It's like VFN TV on the go.
You know, Steve, being the church is not as difficult as others have made it out to be.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when I used to go to tradition, you just wanted to build a relationship and wanting to, but really, how could you?
Mm-hmm.
Within a couple of hours and sometimes what would be feel like a sterile environment.
Right.
But when I had the chance to gather with VFN, Vine Fellowship Network, it became so natural.
Right.
Because it was an environment where family can just truly come alive.
Yeah.
There's nothing like having family. And there's nothing like having someone that has your back, that follows God, that abides, and truly cares for you. By carrying each other's burdens, we fulfill the law of God.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm telling you, VFNfamily.org.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me in the extra hour to encourage you and inform you is Pat Hamilton and John Ramos. We were just talking about what the Lord was sharing with me while I was away, and you got to hear this. You got to hear, you know, what's taking place. I mean, God is speaking to us, and as we said, you know, in the earlier part of our broadcast, that in 9/11 caught a lot of people by surprise, mm-hmm. and I mean, nobody can say unless we just buried our heads in the sand that. And, you know, and this is what he said to Joseph, said to, you know, Pharaoh, was, because God told you twice, it's a definite thing. Mm. And the question is, like, what happens if he tells you 100 times? You know what I'm saying? He's, I'm telling you, I've never heard so many wow. people that are aware. I was just speaking to Susan in Washington, Georgia. Good morning, Susan. And Jonathan. And they were talking about how they have been preparing, and they have friends of theirs that are like 5 miles up the street that has, they live in a house that's built like in 1906. But their friends live in a house that was built like in 1876, 1880 or something like that. Some, you know, yeah. And like, isn't that called a hut? No, obviously, I was just joking. And that they have a farm there where they have like, they're, you know, farming, all that kind of stuff. I'm like, mm-hmm. we're coming to your house. And but it's just, we have to, you know, be prepared for that and go to VFN TV and watch prudent preparation. This is what the Proverbs say, the wisdom says, you know, and we got to get to that today. And this could be the proverb. We'll just let this be the proverb today, you know, that a wise man sees danger and prepares for it. A wise man sees danger and prepares for it. But a fool keeps going and suffers for it.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is that, listen, you know, the reason why we would keep going is because we assume that tomorrow will be like yesterday. But we found out during the hurricanes, we found out during things that happened, people at 9/11 found out that tomorrow is not always like yesterday.
That's right.
And we can prepare for it. And the thing about it is, if you're prepared for it, you can make it through this lull of services. Listen, it stopped for us. Everything stopped. When your state is unplugged, like California got unplugged when the guy tripped over the extension cord or something that time, I mean, everything just went down.
Yeah.
And they're talking about, you know, different things taking place, but the immediate thing is the attack of on our electrical grid and that type of thing with viral type things going into the internet. And just shutting stuff down. Be efficient outside of technology, You know, we talk about abiding when you go to iabide.org. We talk about how to do it with your Bible, with your pen, and with a blank journal and God. And you're not dependent on having to go find something on some computer to be with God. God was before computers, and God will be after computers. And computers are our attempt to be somewhat as knowledgeable as we can when God is all-knowing at the very same time. Anyway, so I'm sitting in this parking lot. I got to tell you, I'm sitting in this parking lot. And we're talking about, you know, what the Lord shared with me in my time away. And in prudent preparation is that it was like, this is the moment. It's here. It's here. And when he spoke to me, and then he began to review things, you know, he began to remember the things that the Lord has shown us, that it's not what you think it is. It's people behind the people. And then he began to talk to me and show me how Isaiah chapter 1, if you read Isaiah chapter 1 all the way to Isaiah maybe 10, but it's the American church. And he says, listen, he says very specifically, he says, don't call this thing a conspiracy like all these other people or men are calling conspiracy. And that's what you hear right now. All these people have these conspiracy things going on. Oh, this is connected to this, and this is who's doing this, and this is who's doing
theories.
This. All these theories. And God specifically says through Isaiah, do not call this a conspiracy. You know, I mean, when you're seeing all these things connect and men are blind to it, you have to be open for the reality that God is doing something. He's allowing something to take place. And then Isaiah says, and this is the word he's speaking to, that God has given me a mind that does not think like other men think. And so you got to do two things first. First, you got to get rid of all this trying to logically explain, which is a conspiracy theory type thing. Quit trying to logically explain what's about to take place and repent and begin to get people listening to things like or to VFN radio and watching VFN TV and start being the church and quit just going to it. And you still can go to where you go, but be the church when you're there and realize the word of God is applicable to you, not to a building organization or board of directors. And so repentance is making God's values our priority, begin to change our life, and God will forgive us. And that's what he wants. And you know, no one cries for justice is also available for you in VFN TV. No one cries for justice. We will not cry for what's right until we understand God's justice. And God's justice is about putting things back in their rightful place and order again. Mm-hmm. Well, that will only happen at the cross of Christ. It won't happen through our ability to do good works or justice movements, but the justice of God. But then God is speaking to Israel, God's people. He's speaking to him. He said, listen, you didn't even listen to me. You know, you're just basically, you know, shaking your fist in my face. You don't want anything to, you know, and he's so upset with Israel. Mm-hmm. And he says, I'm going to take Syria. I'm going to take Syria like a fist. And I'm going to blow a whistle. The Assyrians is what he's saying. And I'm going to blow a whistle. I'm just going to whistle from these nations afar, and they're all going to come in and begin to bring destruction on you. He said, the grave is licking its lips. Mm-hmm. It's licking its lips. What does that mean? It means that, listen, no matter when you think the Lord's coming back, the moment you die, you're going to go be with him. And so your resurrection could be in 5 minutes from now. Right. And you're going to have to answer for this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, don't displace the reality of eternity in your life. You're gonna spend eternity either in hell or in heaven. You're gonna spend eternity where you did not accept Jesus or you did accept him. Not that you make a mental decision. Did you make a hard decision to make him the Lord of your life? And he is so upset. He's using the Syrians to come in, and then he says this will begin to happen. Now we're describing what's going to happen to America. If God's people, it's not the world. We got to quit pointing at this VFN radio is to the church, to the backslider, to the ones being led to the Lord. That's what this is all about. That it is the lack. And then we're going to begin to see with these things taking place that right now Syria is teetering in the balance. You're watching Syria, and it says they describe our president as being uninvolved. uninterested, having nothing to say on the Syrian platform, which is on top of Israel. Mm. At the same time, he's telling Israel that if you do attack Iran, you'll be on your own. And I was going to send you 5,000 troops, but now I'll send you 1,200 or less.
Right.
Then our Secretary of State says that as well. While we're bringing in the Muslim Brotherhood to infiltrate our government, we're removing the Muslim Brotherhood, Islamic references in our library and our FBI. And we are saying there is no God, you know, mm-hmm. in our platform anymore. And then there is Israel's not the capital of Jerusalem, not the capital of Israel, and that Hamas is not an adversary. It was like you just named all of our problems and our issues. And we just shout, we boo God. You know, the Americans boo God. And, you know, that understanding that this is going to begin to happen. And so then he says all these enemies that come in, he says they'll come in like a flood. Like a flood. And over again, God has shown us tidal waves. God has shown us a flood. And he wasn't talking about an actual water flood. He's talking about this, your enemy will come in like a flood. And a flood is like, it comes from everywhere. I don't know if you saw the tsunamis and all that took place. We know during the hurricane, the surges that came in. When water mm-hmm. comes in, it mm-hmm. just comes in from everywhere. It's hard to explain. It doesn't look like in the natural sense it would be destructive until a car washes over you.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Until you interview somebody in Biloxi, Mississippi, you know, or Gulfport, Mississippi, when he's sitting there, he says, I was holding onto this tree. And this tree, he says, that the current was so strong as he hugged this tree, was trying to pull him off this tree, and it ripped all of his clothes off of him while he was standing on. Remember that guy?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he's describing that. When people are saying, listen, we gave you the last chance to abandon before this Hurricane Katrina comes in. Now that you haven't, it's too late. I want you to write your Social Security number on your one arm, and I want you to write your name on your other arm, and do the same thing on your leg and your other leg. So when they find the body, they can identify the body. Listen, a flood is about to pour into our nation, and it's going to pour from every angle. And you can't describe a flood, but let me tell you, hundreds of thousands of lives were lost at the tsunami in a moment. Mm. In a moment. And then he says, then you're going to begin to be hungry. This is what he tells Israel. Then you're going to begin to be hungry. What are we seeing? We're seeing food shortages. We're seeing wages go down, jobs go out, and we're seeing prices of food go up. And when the hurricane hit, what happened? All the shelves were empty. People mm-hmm. immediately emptied the shelves because we're FIFO. We're first in, first out inventory. We mm-hmm. only just enough is how we stock things. It used to be a stock room full of stuff, but now we actually order just enough to put it on the shelf, which means there's no way to replenish that. If all of a sudden a disaster hits America, could take like 90 days or 6 months to get trucks moving again, to get fuel moving again, mm-hmm. to get access again. He says, then you'll begin to roam. This is what he says. Then you'll begin to roam. I'm telling you the future, and you can find out more about this at VFN TV. And if you are not a member of, if you are a Christian and you want to get involved with a family of God, go to VFN TV, go to VFNfamily.org, because we have all this available for the VFN family. We have an entire detailed about how to prepare and what to do. But find somebody, get prepared. But he said, then you'll begin to roam around, and then you'll look up, and you'll curse God, you'll mm-hmm. curse him, and then you'll look down and curse your king, and then you'll begin to basically attack people, trying to take things, you know, food, because people try so hard to live. It's amazing to me. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, are you that scared of death? But, you know, people are scared of death. They're scared of it. And it's like the only reason you're scared of it is because you haven't made a decision that you know where you're going to be afterwards. You right. can live mm-hmm. a life where you overcome by the blood of the Lamb and fear not your life under death.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is how the saints overcame. And that when you get over death, when you're no longer afraid to die, you're finally ready to live. And until you're ready to die for something, you're not ready to live for anything. And the church needs to wake up. And the Lord is saying, this is my fist. You know, and this is Israel. So for everybody that says that, you know, God has a covenant with America and he's not going to, you know, right. he's not going to do anything. Right. He can take America like a bat and beat Syria with it and then throw mm-hmm. us away. You know, right. it's just nations rise and nations fall. I mean, that's God it. Says, I'll raise it up and I'll take it down.
Mm-hmm.
But the church will live. I mean, the kingdom of God will live on.
Mm-hmm.
It's only 300 million people in America. There's 6 billion people on the face of the earth, America. We're not that relevant in the context of the world, but we're sucking up all the money. We're sucking up all the gold. We're sucking up all the resources. And the church that lives in America, only 3% of them are concerned about their heart, and only 3% of them are even honoring God with what he's given us. And we're demanding, we're literally telling people that we don't need a healthcare system while we ourselves are robbing God. And he goes, maybe God's doing by force what we wouldn't do by choice. This is not on every paradigm when I look at what's going on and what God is saying, that we have to really check ourselves. And we lost the perspective of the poor. We lost the perspective of God's perspective of things. And we got to begin. So the flood, I mean, over and over again, God has spoken flood, 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 tidal wave, tidal wave, tidal wave. You know, I was just talking to Brett up in Denver last night, you know, talking about, you know, what God showed me before they got there when I was on a sabbatical, and how, I mean, you got to go listen to, what was the, on VFN TV, there was we had recorded a call where ministers from around America were, a conference call, were sharing about what God has shared with us.
And it's God does speak?
Yeah, God does speak. Mm-hmm. And that's what he says in Job 33. And you can hear this, but understand that he's speaking. And one thing that God said was that it's just going to be major. And at one point when people were looking at something very small, it became very large. And they were looking at a small tornado in the center of the United States. And the Lord had me there in this prophetic dream. And the sky was totally black and dark. And all of a sudden, while everybody's focusing on something small, the entire sky falls, and it lands into the earth, and the earth turns into like water at that point, even though it's still earth, and this huge tidal wave begins to come going west. And over and over again, the sun dropping out of them, it's just major end times. I think Tracy described this is like end times stuff. And now you're beginning to see, you know, these things happen that right after this big move about pulling God out, then putting God back in again, that now you're starting to see unions go on strike. The Chicago Teachers Union. It's like, of all the times, why would you go on strike? Well, you got to understand, it's not what you think it is. That the adversary wants to push this country over the edge. And my concern is, and what you'll see when you go back and go to VFN TV and watch these prophetic words and teachings, and you can hear them, is you'll find out that God already showed us that America was on the edge of a cliff about to be pushed over like the Titanic. And would we, and it was almost like they've been getting us closer and closer to the edge of the cliff. They could have pushed us earlier, but they're getting us closer and closer, so the push is for sure. You know, and the church sleeps. It's like rolling a sleeping body closer and closer. Like, wake up, you're rolling closer to the edge of this thing. And so you got to hear these. I mean, he's telling us, and you need to share with others. Listen, it's anointed word from God, and it'll wake people up. And so God is using Syria. In Syria right now, you have the Muslim Brotherhood, well, the Hamas, the militant arm of the Muslim Brotherhood, who took over in Egypt, who's taken over in Libya and these other countries, and our government's helping. That they're about to take over in Syria. What does that mean? They're going to have the power of Syria, the chemical weapons of Syria. They're going to have this caliphate of these nations around Israel. And that's going to be used against Jesus and the Jews, against the church, you know, and the Jews. I mean, you got to go see JJ on the torch. Understand? Just type in JJ. That's the perspective. You know, how do they see Jesus and the Jews? And Jesus is a Jew, but the fact is, but he's also the church. And so understanding that. And so what the Lord laid on my heart was that moment, what's happening right now, and what's happening, but the first thing they start talking about is the Christians are getting persecuted in Syria. I mean, they haven't even got leadership yet, and they're already coming against the Christians in Syria. That was a big thing. And they hate, you understand, Satan hates the Jews. He hates Christians. He hates God's people, period. But God's saying in Isaiah that I am blowing a whistle, and I'm going to use these nations, including the Assyrians, to come against you because you've come against me. You've turned against me. What does that mean? That means if God can use a Muslim who is Antichrist, who does not believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and to come against Israel, he can use Mormons, Mm-hmm. He can use the lost. He can use whoever he wants to use.
That's right.
The question is, who do you say he is? We have to get in alignment again with him. The only hope for Jesus, the only hope for the church and the hope, you know, I don't know if it's just time to swim. Mm-hmm. I don't know. And we can swim past this, the ship called America, and the church will live on. But there's people entertaining right now, you know, just like I talked about. It's no big deal to say duck, goose before everybody and think God is not going to hold us accountable for that. I know you gave a statistic that we talked about, and you can find it on there, but it's actually, John, I think it's 76 per state, 76 abortions per state per hour. No, three per hour.
Mm-hmm.
24 hours. Yeah, it'd be 3 per hour because 76 a day, abortions a day, or sacrifices to Moloch,
right.
And sacrifice of children a day.
Mm.
And so that means, think about it, every single state, 50 states, 3 an hour, that's 150 sacrifices to Moloch.
Wow.
You know, an hour.
Mm.
And that's huge.
Wow.
And the reason why he said to Israel, he said that, you know, I can't deal with this. You know, and he says he thrusted them. You got to listen to Josiah. You got to listen to the message on Josiah on VFN TV. But he says he thrusted them, his own people. He thrusted them from their presence. And that's just this false perception of God, is that we're breaking his heart. We're breaking his heart. How long do you think that children can offend their father till finally their father just says, listen, you know, you got to get out of my face. I just can't see this anymore. I just can't see this anymore. And then you can only hope that the father's heart will change towards you over a period of time, which means maybe 10 years in captivity, you know, 10 years of oppression. And we are breaking the heart of our God as a people who have been the most blessed people on the face of the nation, of the world. We've never been a more blessed people than America, and this is what we've done with it, to the point where here we are a few years later, because we're a young nation. Now we're actually wanting to remove God from our platform, what we stand for, and remove Israel. Dear God, have mercy on America. If you haven't yet, you need to go, and you need to download the VFN TV app, and begin to listen to this word every day. We're here every day with you to talk to you, to encourage you, to give you a now word. And you need to brace yourself, not out of fear, but out of faith and surety. And only hold on to what is solid, which is Jesus, because he can carry you through any storm. But the storm is coming, and we don't know how long. And I encourage you, too, to download every broadcast, so you have it available for you, just in case the internet wasn't there for you or your way that you listen is not there for you. You know, download it somehow into your system so you can listen to this. You need to understand that the time has come and the Lord says, this is it. Brace yourself. Well, God bless you. We're coming to the end of the extra hour. There's going to be more we're going to share about this. But I wanted to tell you and begin to talk to you. Listen, God has given us wisdom on how to prepare for what's coming. Go to VFNTV.com, listen to Fruit and Preparation, and everything that's available there for you. Follow us on Twitter, follow us on Facebook, go to VFNTV.com. God bless, and until we see you tomorrow, don't forget also, in about 30 minutes, you'll hear the 24/7 boot that'll begin. God bless.